gentlemen, the 3Y NASCAR podcast rolls on into the weekend. Can you set for the finale this weekend? A triple header weekend at Darlington. Eddie Greer, aka EG3, for the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, Kim World Truck Series, Series, and of course, the NASCAR Cup Series of Green Beast Divisions. All of Motorsports, a jam-packed edition. This weekend's edition of the podcast. Of course, if you missed it earlier, I recorded separate episodes of the Truck Series early this week. And the Xfinity Series is out on Friday. If you have not gone back and downloaded, check those out, please do that as well. Tell everybody about the 3Y NASCAR podcast. And new listeners, I know they'll probably throw you off for a loop, but usually I combine them all in one episode, but I wanted to try them all out a little bit separately this time around, and I might stick with this format down the road somewhere. But yes, jam-packed show, ladies and gentlemen, here as this episode, as I'm recording this right now on Saturday. Yes, folks, Saturday morning, right after the 5K I just did. So, anyways, jam-packed show. I'm going to just quickly, because we missed out last week, kind of scam a little bit over Talladega real quick. And then, obviously, the race is here in KC. Well, not here, but 2 hours down the road on I-70, Kansas Speedway last week, where the loose tire changed the game. And then I'm going to have a special guest on here in a little bit as well. I told you, this is a jam-packed show here with you guys today here, getting you set for the Cup race later on. This episode's going to be out tomorrow morning, so pretty much getting you guys ready to go for that green flag later on this afternoon. But anyways, but yes, Talladega was something. Brad Keselowski getting his first victory of the season, and there's also been starting to bounce off the walls here. I'm going to be all over the place here for the next few moments here, but want to get this in here for those of you who missed out. There was no show last week, and I've already recorded two, so this is the third show. So we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. But yes, Brad Keselowski, how can you get it done? This dude right there, he knows how to get it done. Keselowski winning another Talladega race there, and in the process holding off William Byron to do that in OT. Michael McDowell, again, Michael McDowell is up front, and in his favorite spot, in the third spot, in particularly throughout the second half of this race right there. Brad Keselowski, he was not leading there until Matty D made a mistake there again. And I mean, how many times are you gonna put yourself in that spot right there for Di Benedetto? Of course, Matty D, though, rolling himself, though, after a slow start off the mat, he's gotten himself rolling three top tens, including last week at Kansas City. So Di Benedetto getting his act together here, heading into this race this afternoon at Darlington. But you have to applaud Brad Keselowski. This dude was obviously one of the, and I just reeled off the top three right there, and that's all I got right there. I could go down the whole line like I usually do, but I don't have time, obviously, because of our special guests. We'll be hopping on here in a little bit here in the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. But absolutely, Keselowski, one of the more successful speedway racers in the Cup Series to this point, and he showed why right there. You know the Penske power. We talked about it on this podcast millions of times. When he got it done, and he became the, I want to say at that point in time, it was the ninth different winner, Kyle Busch. Fast forward to last week now, and for the what was called the Bushy McBush race 400. How ironic that a Bush wins the race. I don't think nobody really talked about that. But the Bushy McBush, Kyle Busch, gets it done last week, and he owns Kansas Speedway. I mean, the guy was fast, and he basically, let me put it this way. He swept the weekend. He swept the tree. We talked about him earlier this week. He won a truck race last Friday night, and he comes around the following day, gets it done. And obviously, we know what happened last year. He did not even get a win until, what, three races left in the entire season there. Obviously, he was not in the postseason there when he got that victory here this time around. Not only that, he won stage two as well. Kyle Busch, Rowdy Busch, the Bushy McBush 400. And you had to scripted any better than that. Kyle Busch winning the race there, leading 20 laps to win the race last weekend there. Huge win. Right, there's no telling. You get somebody like that, obviously talented enough, like a KB, getting it done right there, and he can get on the road. We forget. I mean, he gets one of these things. He can get on some type of roll himself, too. I mean, last year, you know, the season was dominated by Harvick and Hamlin, the double H's. Hasn't been like that. I mean, we see Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin had issues trying to hold off Casey Kane. No, not Casey Kane. Goodness gracious. The other K, Kyle Larson. That's right. Where did Casey Kane come from? I don't know. But, hey, I was in the right ballpark with a K in there. Anyways, though, but he was in the battle with Larson there, and Kyle Larson, he should have possibly at least two more wins to his bank there. Did not get it done, and of course, the caution where everybody's talking about to this point is that loose tire sitting there, and usually when it happens there, the caution usually comes out automatically right there, and I had an issue with that right there, you know. So, what, I mean, I get it that you're trying to wait, but that usually is a caution. Immediately, not waiting. I mean, what are we making? Why do we keep making up rules in the Cup Series? I haven't heard that one. I mean, usually when the tire's out, the caution usually comes out right away. At least at most of the races that I've seen, anyways. I mean, I shoot it straight. I'm telling you. I mean, they usually pay attention to the caution. But there was no caution. They waited till everybody cycled back around. And that took, what, some 20, 25 minutes to do that, because Stenhouse stayed out with his usual staying out like everybody else. And then Chris Buescher did the same thing. Buescher, though, finished in the top 10 again on a mile-and-a-half track. So shout out Chris Buescher and Roush Racing for doing that right there. I'm just going to go ahead and roll through the top 10 here. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski off that win of Talladega. Brad Keselowski started on the pole there. He led 72 laps. Obviously, the most laps led was Larson DiBenedetto, fourth. Chase Elliott, fifth. Martin Truex Jr., sixth. Tyler Reddick, somebody you're going to have to pay attention to this afternoon at the little high bank track there, egg-shaped at Darlington. I got him pegged. Chris Buescher, eighth, like I just said. William Byron, come off that run-up finish at Dega. And Austin Dillon, somebody who last year could have stolen the opening race of the playoffs. Then you give him one more lap there against Kevin Harvick. Remember, the charge, Austin Dillon ran, what, in the top seven all night long. And then, of course, the whole 9-19 situation off of turn number two. Or I should say turn one, I should say, probably. Either way, they both wrecked there at that spot. Dillon, Harvick were back, and Kevin Harvick barely held on to the win right there. They're holding off Austin Dillon right there at the last minute there. That is your top 10, folks, from the Bushy McBush 400 from KC Speedway.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Our special guest this afternoon will be calling in shortly again from the NASCAR Diversity Program. None other than one of the new guys on the roster this year. None other than LeVar Scott will drop by the podcast here in just a little bit here to see what he's up to. And y'all listeners and new listeners to the podcast will get to know him a little bit here this afternoon before the green flag drops at Darlington. Speaking of that, here real quick, obviously, as I switch over to my screen here for a second here. Okay, so later on, 2:30 Central Time, 3:30 East Coast Time, the Goodyear 400 Throwback Weekend concludes this afternoon there. And so, obviously, Brad Keselowski will lead the field. Yeah, it looks like Brad Keselowski will lead the field to green here. FS1 will have the coverage of it, obviously, and MRN will have the coverage over the radio. You can't be able to be in front of your TVs this afternoon for that. So that's that as well. So, but yeah, I mentioned a couple of, I know it's kind of been crunched in on time a little bit due to our special guest. I wanted to get him in here due to what's been going on late in the last of the week. So I moved things around to allow my special guest to be on here this afternoon here for the podcast, getting you set for that. So, but anyways, obviously, Darlington, again, when you think about this racetrack, obviously we've had two races now in the books, now waiting for a third here. You think about, obviously, who the guy I talked about, Kyle Larson. And speaking of which, you wonder where he finished at. He finished 19th, 132 laps led, and he had contact with Blaney on the final lap that put him down there. As well, Kyle Larson, he's back, and the last time he was in this car, same song, same story, led a bunch of laps. For Ganassi, anyways, he owned this race until late, and then Brad Keselowski snuck up on Larson and won the race, I believe, with Penske Racing. This was a couple years ago. Penske Racing would finish 1-2, if my memory is correct on it, and I'm pretty sure it is. Brad Keselowski won. Joey Logano finished in a second spot right there. So, Kink, I mean, it's been the same. It's been, this is the story with this team. I mean, unfortunately, that caution right there cost the 5 team another win in the bank there. But hey, I mean, this is not, that's a perfect example of that. Kevin Harvick, obviously, coming off that win in the playoffs. Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, that's your top five there, average-wise, from the last couple races. You got to go back, again, my notes, my summary notes here. Go back to, like I usually do it, go back to 2018 as well. So those are guys you're going to have to look for. And Eric Jones, obviously, in different equipment compared to those guys right there on the spot. Right there. So even though when you look at some of these teams here in the past, I mean, this is going to be your old school. This is just like this was the race last year that changed the game with the whole COVID situation and whatnot, right? So we saw Harvick dominate, and then Alex Bowman comes up in there last year. Hendrick Motorsports, somebody you're gonna have, a team that you're gonna have to watch in this race. Chase Elliott is yet to get victory lane, and I have not gone through this show without saying Harvick ain't gone to victory lane either. I already mentioned Hamlin already, as dominant as he, as consistent as he's been, right there in contention, leading the laps and failing to close the deal. So again, what we're talking about, once again, on this 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, we are talking about inconsistency with guys that can't finish the deal. So that, I mean, again, as the music wants to play, wants to get a head start on me for a little bit. But anyways, look out for this race here this afternoon, obviously. Tyler Reddick, somebody, or really RCR, somebody you're going to have to watch this afternoon. Austin Dillon, Tyler Reddick. Everybody's anxious to see Reddick in victory lane. Tyler Reddick finished top 10 in this race last year. If my memory stays correctly, I don't have the finishing order and finishing orders on my screen right now because of my notes for the interview. But you had him, you had John Hunter Nemechek, up there. So you had some guys that you ain't heard of up there, up in the mix. And you, again, I'm going to say this note like I did in the Xfinity Series episode this week on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. You're going to have to race the racetrack. And if it's hot, then we're going to be seeing some slipping and sliding. I'm pretty sure we will at some point here this afternoon with what's going on. And will we get another winner? I mean, the pattern is, and I'm starting to think as well, with the halfway point approaching, we might just, with the regular winners yet to still win, there's three of them that I've named off here this afternoon, that you know, hey, they have not won yet. And obviously Di Benedetto's getting his act together there. Kurt Busch is another one that's left out in the conversation, that has not won. And their performance, I mean, they were hot, they were good, they were pretty strong to start off the year, but they tailed off here as of late. That's somebody you have to keep an eye on there as well. Yeah, Chase Elliott, the only Hendrick driver who has yet to win. Who would have thought about that? And remember, Chase Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, is your reigning champion. So he's yet to taste the checkered flag this year. So RCR might have something to say about that here. And I wouldn't put it past, oh boy, I wouldn't pass Chris Buescher a little bit there. I mean, he's come out with some strong runs here so far in 2021. So that group, so he's going to be there as well. And if I can turn to, let's see who I'm thinking about here. Obviously, Ross Chastain. He's somebody who could have a strong run this afternoon. So definitely that as well. I'll have the starting lineup after our special guest interview here, and then you're going to hear the closing music. But we're going to step aside here for a bit. The red light is flashing here. Time to take our intermission break. We'll be back here with LeVar Scott here in a couple moments. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. You're listening to it. EG3. We'll be back.
Coming out of turn four, we're back with the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3.
And thanks for tuning in.
The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast getting you ready for Cup Series action later on this afternoon. Part of a triple header weekend, throwback weekend out there in South Carolina. Eddie Greer III, host of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, Kim World Truck Series, Xfinity, and NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR, folks. And like I teased it in the first half of the show podcast, now it is time to bring on my special guest for this week's podcast here. He is from his hometown. He is from Carneys Point, New Jersey. He is part, he is a part of the newest class of the NASCAR for Diversity program. Welcome on to the podcast, none other than LeVar Scott. LeVar Scott, what's up? How you doing?
How you doing, man? Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, yes. Thank you for taking the time out of your day there to chat with me, LeVar.
No problem at all.
Yes, yes. Glad to have you on the podcast. You're one of the newest NASCAR for Diversity drivers this year. Before I talk about that, there are current listeners and new listeners that joined the podcast, and we want to know, just give us a little summary of how you got to this point, how you got yourself involved with NASCAR racing.
Yeah, well, I started racing when I was 5. I started racing dirt quarter midget in a track called Blackbird in Delaware. From there on, I kept moving up in different classes as I got older. So I moved up to the micro sprints when I was 12, which was the 125 class. I won a few races in that class, 2 years, and moved up to the 600 micro sprint. And then I find out that I could really do something with racing, like try to make a living off of it. So I went to the Combine in 2019 for the Legends Youth Program. I didn't make it that year, but I always stayed in contact with the team. And then that same year, I went to the Combine for the late models. I raced late models the next year, and I made it. I made the team. I drove Legends cars last year for the racing. And I had an awesome year. It was a great year. I learned a lot with the team. I bonded with the team very well. And this year, I'm part of the team for a late model program. So it's been an awesome year so far.
Yeah, I got to correct the listeners here real quick on that. This is LeVar Scott's second season with the NASCAR Drive for Diversity Development Program. So I said the first, this is your second. So that's awesome, LeVar, yeah. There. How have you liked this year to so far? And just give us, have you raced any races so far to this point?
Yeah, I raced 2 races at Hickory. My first race, I started 4th, I finished 3rd. It was our first race. It was an awesome race. I learned a lot just about how everybody races around me, how to pass people, and like my distance from the wall, from other cars. My second race, I finished, we had twins. It was twin 40s. I finished 6th in the first twin and 4th in the second twin. It's been an awesome year.
That's great. That's great, LeVar. That's great to hear. Obviously, I've had a few of your teammates on this podcast here. And what are your thoughts on Hickory Speedway? Do you like it? Do you enjoy racing that racetrack?
Yeah, Hickory is an awesome track. I love it. It's tight racing, and it's weird because the two corners are different from each other. The way you have to drive it is different. But I think it keeps everybody on their toes and everybody ready to race. And you never know what's going to happen there because the racing is so tight and everyone's fast, so they want to go to the front. It's awesome racing.
Awesome. That's awesome right there. All right, so you, let's see, let me switch my screen here for a minute here. Okay, so a couple years ago, you ran in the 600 micro class back in September of 2018. You finished 3rd in points there with that class. Just tell us a little bit about the micro class and what that was all about.
You know, micro class is each year is becoming more and more popular. Like the track here in North Carolina is Millbridge, and that track racing every week is just crazy. It's fly jobs, these micro is just kind of like a USAC midget. It's a smaller version of a USAC midget with 600 cc micro engine running. You have Kawasaki, Suzuki's, or Yamaha's, and it's so crazy because you have to change your shock and torsion bars. There's so many different types of setups you can use at each track, and everybody, you can go to this guy, and this guy's really fast, but he has a completely different setup than you are. And it all comes back to the driver. You have to really drive, like, these cars are hard to drive, and you have to be consistent each lap, and it's crazy, but I think it helps you a lot with different cars you're getting. Like, I transitioned over pretty well to an asphalt car, and I think that 600 micro sprint helps a lot from that.
I see. LeVar Scott, Rev Racing, part of the NASCAR Driver for Diversity program here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. And kind of in that same year, I got to go back up a few more months earlier, you know, winning your first getting at the Airport Speedway in that same class back in May of that same year right there. How did it feel to win your first race at that point?
That was awesome. I won two races before. I won a race, one race before that at a different track. But I think running the Airport was really big just because that was my home track and I was racing against my brother. And there was a lot of good people there that night. And the thing about, I was 2018, I was 14 years old. And that class is all adults. It's everybody you're racing gets 30, 20, 40 years old. So I think just to prove myself and prove that I can actually do this and hang with these guys and show everybody I can do it was a really big step to start for me. And it gave me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, that sure does give you confidence when you can outdrive people, guys and gals that are much older than you are. So that does give you the confidence. Now, you just said you won previously before that. You said you won two more times, didn't you? Where did you win those at?
Yeah, I won once before that. I won at Hamlin Speedway. That's the track in PA. I started second at race, and the top was pretty fast. So I got a good one up the top and passed them on the second lap and just led the race from there on. And that was my first win in the 600. That was my whole family was there that night, so that was really big. I would never forget that night. Actually, I didn't even believe that I won. I was just shocked. It was pretty crazy.
Oh man, that's definitely got to be special to win in front of your family members there, having them there. And that's actually what's going to be, you kind of transitioned into that a little bit there. So going back a little bit, are there any racetracks up there in New Jersey or any in the Northeast? I know I've heard of a couple, but I'm not familiar with the whole Northeast thing. Are there a couple of good tracks up there that you raced at?
Yeah. Pennsylvania is the absolute hardest racing there is for micro sprints. It does not get any tougher. We have one track in New Jersey called Bridgeport Speedway. That's the only real big dirt track in New Jersey. And then New Egypt, but New Egypt doesn't race micro sprints. But Pennsylvania, the racing there is just like all the Pennsylvania guys come here in North Carolina and just win. Like it's nothing. And like guys like Alex Bright or Brian Carver, Alex Bright won the Tulsa Shootout, which is the absolute biggest micro sprint race there is. He's from Pennsylvania. Brian Carver won the micro sprint TRD show at Millbridge, and he's from Pennsylvania. So the racing there is really good. It's a lot of spot jobs, good tracks. The tracks are pretty big, like Action Track or Lincoln Memorial Speedway. That track's pretty big. That track's big. But, yeah.
So you say that. So that was actually going to be leading into my next question there, listening to you talk about that. So Lincoln is the biggest track up there then? Ha ha.
Lincoln.
How big is it? Is it like a mile and a half, or is it a mile, or?
Oh, no. Their tracks, the micro sprint track don't get that big. I think Lenko is a quarter mile.
Okay, I see. LeVar Scott joining EG3 here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. EG3 with Rev Racing, part of the NASCAR Drive for Diversity program. Last season, during the whole COVID pandemic situation, you earned four top tens and had a top five in the summer shootout at Charlotte Motor Speedway last year. And speaking of the pandemic, prior to everybody resuming racing, how did you handle the pandemic last year with all that scary situation, and did you manage to stay in shape? Did you do some iRacing simulator stuff, or how did you keep your mind focused on what your goals were last year?
Yeah, I think the pandemic was absolutely just terrible and scary when it happened, but I think overall, like, it helped me a lot in racing, just because when you go to school, you sit down in class. And last year, I was a junior in high school, so I'd go to school, you sit down in class all day and eat lunch. And, but now that I got the pandemic, it allowed us to go to school. So I moved around a lot. I went to the shop, I worked. So I just burned more calories. So I think that helped me stay in shape a ton. And I always went to the gym at night. So I think just the pandemic definitely helped me with getting in shape more. Racing, I played a lot more out of racing, like a lot more, because now I don't got to worry about schoolwork at night, because I get the schoolwork done during the day, like around lunchtime, and so I have all night to play out of racing. So the pandemic definitely helped my racing pretty good. and me staying in shape.
Yeah. See, yeah, the pandemic can work well. Unfortunately, having that pandemic can help. One or two ways can help you.
Yeah.
By staying focused and getting stuff done, working on your craft, right? Or the other thing is, it could, if you be lazy enough, then it could really hurt you long term. So that's good that you were able to work on your iRacing and get your schoolwork done and all that, and to work hard towards getting better at racing. So obviously, I'm going to fast forward just a bit. So Dover is next week for the Xfinity and Cup Series, right? So I have on here that you saw your first race at Dover International Speedway. Do you remember any good memories from that race?
Actually, I don't. I was 7 or 8 years old when I went. My grandpa, my mom, my brother went. And at the time, I was getting into dirt racing. Dirt racing was like the best thing in the world to me. I love dirt racing. So at the time, I didn't really look at asphalt racing. I was like, oh, like this is amazing. This is awesome. So, I mean, it was an awesome race. Being there, a lot of cars, so many cars on the track. It's an awesome track to over. But I don't remember any two big moments from that race. No, I do not.
Okay, that's all right. That is all right. But that's great. A lot's changed. A little bit, anyways, at that Dover track there. Yeah. Since then, that's for sure. But that's next week. But have you been able to watch any of the other NASCAR races from this year to this point, leading up to Darlington to this point?
Yeah, I watch. I try to watch. Well, every Sunday I try to go out with my family and do things with my grandma, especially. But right. I try to watch most of the races this year. So I'm pretty. I watched Kyle Larson win, and I saw last week Kyle Larson was about to win again, and then Kyle Busch took it. But yeah, I try to watch most races I can.
Yeah,
I think
the more
you watch, the more intelligent you become to the sport, and that's going to make you a better overall driver.
Mm-hmm, yep. Yeah, that's kind of been a theme so far this year, at least. One of the big storylines so far in 2021, yeah, Kyle Larson, had that whole situation from last year coming out really rolling, really on fire this year.
Yeah,
and
he's on fire.
And just like I said in the first half, he should have at least three wins to his credit, but you know, sometimes it doesn't go like that. And unfortunately, that loose tire from the Reddick camp there kind of changed the whole complexion of that race right there, because he was going to walk away with that one until all that happened. So, all right. So I have on here LeVar Scott here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast that your family owns a wrecking business. And do they still? Is that still going on? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. We are in an auto towing business, so we work on cars too. But yeah, I've been ever since I could remember. I mean, like little, I always every day at the shop working, doing something, sweeping the floors. Or the biggest thing was like when like a truck trailer wreck. My favorite thing was like going on the tows with my grandpa, my uncle, and watching them shift the big truck. So, but ever since I remember, I always been to the shop working on something, and it's been around for a long time, and hopefully, it's going to be around for a lot longer.
wonderful, and you're still working on those cars, right?
Especially when I'm back home in New Jersey, my mom makes me go to the shop every day and do different things, oil changes, tire changes, balancing tires, whatever she needs me to do. I'm always there because Scott's auto touring, like that helped my career like so much in racing. Like I would not be here today if it wasn't for my mom and my family, whatever they do for me. But every time, like I look at it as if it wasn't for the shop, like I really wouldn't be in the position that I'm in. So why not? When I'm here, let me help out as much as I can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I understand. Yeah, that's for sure. Those skills right there that you're learning, that you can continue to learn, LeVar, that's going to go a long, long way. Not just like working on race cars, but working on your own actual car. Save yourself a lot of money down the road. But yeah, that's some good skill to learn and that you continue to learn. So that's awesome that you're working on that type of stuff and learning, because Yeah, that could go a long, long way down the road somewhere. So,
yeah. I think it could save me a lot of money too, so I'm not gonna pay.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's the big. That's the number one thing right there is, you know, if you can work on your own stuff. I know I have a best friend that's very, very car knowledgeable and knows how to work on stuff. So yeah, definitely. If you continue that, you can definitely help out somebody else down the road, a few people down the road too. So, what's the most difficult car so far that you've worked on, if any?
It has to be a foreign car, like BMWs and Mercedes. I hate this one thing. Everything is so tight, it's technical. Nowadays, it's electronic, and that makes you feel more tough. Like the easiest car to work on would be like a Honda, like Honda Civic. Everything's open, easy to change brakes. But definitely the newer cars are very, very hard to work on.
Yeah, and speaking of technical, the next gen cars preview came out early this week, and those cars looking pretty sweet there, and with the whole tire situation with it going to 5 to all of a sudden 1 lug nut. And yeah, that's going to be a good looking, plus a little, it's going to take a little getting used to those cars being out there on the track. And kind of speaking on that, how do you feel about the next? I know you haven't actually raced on it yet, but how do you feel about seeing those cars finally hit the racetrack with 40 drivers in it next year? I know I'm looking too far, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel really excited. The cars look so good. Like 2 days ago when you did the preview, I like the way the Mustangs look, and it's going to be crazy to watch pit crew and how much faster it is with the one lug. And I think the race is probably going to be better next year with these new cars, because I think they mess with the spoiler in the back, right? And all the aerodynamic stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think the race is going to be better, and the cars absolutely look so much better. I love the new look. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so the anticipation continues as we still have unfinished business here for this season. But yeah, the anticipation for the next gen car will only grow as the season rolls on. LeVar Scott here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, part of Rev Racing's NASCAR Drive for Diversity program. I have on here, LeVar, that you're a senior at Salem County Technical School.
Yes, Salem County Vocational Technical School in New Jersey. Yeah.
Okay. All right. How's it going so far with school stuff so far in your last year with the technical school? How you doing so far?
I'm doing good. I knew I was gonna come to Rev like in December or something like that. So I made sure I got all my work done in my first semester. Like even my second semester classes, I put in my first semester, so I got to do my work done early. So now I'm here. I'm just living life. Working on race cars and racing, so it's going awesome.
Nice. So that's all. Like I said, like I talked about earlier, it's nice to take care of your schoolwork first, get that all knocked out, so you can work on the good stuff later. Work on cars and get them all set up and all that stuff. Good stuff. So, yeah. You're coming from a family full of drag racers. This was exciting to read here. Your mother was a drag racer, your grandpa, uncle, and both of your aunts were former drag racers. Tell us a little bit about that.
My grandpa, he was the first ever person to build like a junior dragster. So he built that, I think, in 1980, something like that, or 1990. And he took that to the track, races all the time. It's my mom. My mom, growing up, she always been to a drag track. And when she turned, I don't know how old she was when she started racing, but my grandpa built her a Mustang. Really nice Mustang. It was fast. She started racing that, and then my aunts found out my sister's racing. Now they all want to race. And my uncle is the youngest. He's the youngest out of the four siblings. So, you know, when your sisters are racing, and he's a guy, so, you know, he's going to want to race. But he was really good. My uncle was really good. My mom, she made it to the NHRA. She got her license for NHRA. So it's, and ever since then, like, me and my brother, we were supposed to drag race when we turned 8. But my brother, he didn't want to start racing. He wanted to start racing with his 5, so we got him a quarter midget, and that's how I got into quarter midgets from him.
Yeah, that kind of led into my next question there. So you're supposed to follow your mom into drag racing? So.
Yeah. Yeah, I was supposed to. I'm glad I did it.
Well, yeah, it sounds like glad you made the right decision there. Have you had an opportunity since kind of making your own path to go back and watch drag races, or are you just focused on your path and trying to get better and trying to move up to the ranks of NASCAR?
Yeah, I'm drag racing, like, if I see it on TV, I'll look for a couple races and watch a couple runs, but it's nothing like, I'm very, very focused on asphalt racing, trying to make it to the Cup Series.
Yes, that's the ultimate goal, LeVar. That's the ultimate goal right there. One day, we'll see you in the Cups, Xfinity and Cup Series as well, so, yeah, that's an interesting turn right there, so, I actually used to watch drag racing as well. I've kind of gotten myself out of that, slowly out of that due to watching a lot of NASCAR races, the trucks, Xfinity, and the Cup Series. So it's been a minute. Every now and then I'll still watch a drag race event here and there. I know there's a drag racing arena up in Topeka, 45 minutes where I live at. So I actually haven't been there since moving, relocating to Kansas. But yeah, so
okay.
What I have down here, you are a current high school varsity wrestler. Is that right?
Not current. I used to be.
Oh, used to be.
I wrestled all my life because I started when I was 5, and then when I was in middle school, I was like 10, 11, something like that. In 6th grade in middle school, I stopped. I changed schools, and the school I went to was really, really big in basketball. So I started playing basketball. I played basketball for a few years, and then when I got to high school, I switched back to wrestling, and I wrestled my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. I had a pretty good record. My first year back, I was like 18-10 or something like that, 6 on the varsity lineup. So it was I can't complain with that. But then as time goes on, like, I got more and more good racing, and I fell off.
Okay, so did you enjoy wrestling at all, or you drive? Did you enjoy the competition?
Yeah, I think wrestling is, like, especially in high school, I think it's the hardest sport. Because it takes so much discipline. Like, you have to go to practice every single day. When you're wrestling, you have to be a certain weight. Like, so I wrestled at 130. I was 138. And so you can't go out and eat a lot because, you got to make weight for a match on Saturday. I think for high school kids, that's very, very hard because, you want to go have fun. You want to go to Applebee's and have buffalo wings, or, you know what I mean? And I think in high school, it definitely it's the most disciplined sport. Because you have to be good. Kids are in the gym working out every day trying to overpower you on Saturday. So I think I enjoyed it. I think it taught me a lot. Because, when the thing about racing is there's so many, like, different things that can go wrong when you're not doing. You have bad tires in the car, bad pit stop, or as a driver, just having a bad race, you can mess up on stuff. And when you wrestle, it's you and your opponent. Like, if you lose, you lost. And most pieces, you got to go back in the gym to get better. What's that?
Yeah, I definitely understand. Yeah, because we did have the high school that I went to, we did have a wrestling team, and you have to make. I wasn't a wrestler, but you see my other friends on the wrestling. Well, two friends on the wrestling team. You have to make weight. Yeah, you have to go through all this process, kind of like the the UFC. Now what you're seeing nowadays, you have to make weight and all, boxing. Yeah, I see that being harder than playing any other sport. Because, you definitely want to have fun. You want to go eat the fun stuff, right? So. I agree with you there. I think wrestling, even though I didn't take part in that at a younger age is a very hard sport to stay consistent. But you touched on a lot of parts there, especially in racing. Like, you have to be on top of your game. Your pit crew has to be good. You have to have good stops. Your car has to be almost, well, I shouldn't, perfect's the wrong word, but it has to be almost spot on there. So your crew's got to be, it's basically like any other team sport, like baseball, football, basketball. You have to work together as a team. You have to work well together as a team. If not, then you got to go back to the drawing board there. So that you hit on some good points there.
It's just crazy because you could be, even if you're having a perfect night, you had a good pit stop, you had your driving, your line speed, your fast, somebody in front of you could mess up and mess you up. So I think to win a race, it takes a lot of luck, a lot of skill, and a lot of talent. But it's, when you actually win a race, it pays off. Like it's the absolute best feeling in the world to win racing. Step out the car in victory lane, take pictures, and meet fans and sign autographs. There's no cooler feeling like that. So I think it's a lot of, you're obviously going to lose a lot more races than you win. But it means the world.
Yeah, when you win, get that checkered flag first, it's going to be much, much sweeter. LeVar Scott here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Just a few more minutes with him. I appreciate LeVar taking some time out of his day to join the podcast. I mentioned LeVar that I've had a couple of your teammates on here. Isabella and Raja just recently. Raja is on a roll himself this year. He's won a couple, a few races. He's on fire this year. How do you like your teammates so far here in 2021?
They are my best friends. Like, when I need advice or something's going on that is making me upset, like I go to my teammates. Like, I hang out with Regina. Like, me and Regina go do crossfit together, and me and Isabella, we're going next week, Isabella going to a water park together. It's just me and Roger hang out all the time, you know, talking to them girls in his situation. my teammates are my best friends, no doubt about it. I love them so much.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah, definitely. The thing is, you got to have, obviously your family is going to be there no matter what, but you got to have that kind of that second karate, that second family, you know what I'm talking about, that other group that's going to be right there, you know, supporting you. If you win a race, you finish top five, or you have a bad race or whatnot, you're going to have that group of friends that they're going to be right there no matter what. So that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah, and Raja, me and Raja, like, he's on a roll, so he helps, like, whatever that kid can help with, he's there to help me. Like, it doesn't matter if it's line or just, if I'm down about a race, I'm upset. Raja's the guy, like, I love him so much. He's an amazing teammate. He's really good at racing. For this is his third year, he's on fire.
Yeah, and I'm definitely interested to continue to watch his progress going forward the rest of this season. And also the rest of your teammates as well. LeVar, give us the rest of your racing schedule here going forward. I know you race a couple times already. What's the plan going forward here through the summer months?
Yeah, tomorrow we race at Hickory River Speedway. We race tomorrow. I think practice starts at 2. Then after that, I'm just going to keep racing late models and traveling like Tri-County, Florence, Hickory. And I think I'm pretty 100% sure I got some very, very big news planned for very soon, but I can't mention that yet. So this year is going to be an awesome year.
Ooh, all right. A little teaser there, drop in there. I like that. I like that. Well, I'm not going to spill the beans, so definitely, we'll definitely stay tuned. We'll definitely stay tuned to see what those plans are going forward this summer for you, LeVar. All right. Do you have a crew chief while you're racing? I've got to mention that.
No, well, we don't have like a assigned crew chief. Like, everybody shop helps everybody. Like, especially a late model program, whoever's like Doug Glenn, like they're like the two, like the setup guys that I always go to. And then you have Mark and Bobby. Mark's our driver coach, and then Bobby Gill, he used to race, and he was really, really, really good. So I always ask him for advice about my line and work on being better at driving and passing. So, yeah, we don't have, like, a assigned crew chief, but there's so many different guys you can go to, and everybody's very, very smart and helpful.
And before I forget here, obviously, what do you, I mean, other than working on cars and participating in races, LeVar, what are your other hobbies that you like to do outside of racing? If you have any other hobbies that you like to do. I know you've been busy with all that.
Yeah. In North Carolina, every day I go to the shop at 8 o'clock. I don't need to shop till like 4 p.m. And then I go to CrossFit. And in CrossFit, I go home, eat dinner, I race in, and repeat my day. But in New Jersey, I like to ride dirt bikes, fools all the time, wrestle with my brother. He's really good at wrestling. Work on my dirt car, race that back at home. So it's pretty filled up. Life's good.
Life is good, that is for sure. And kind of a last question here that I have here. You have any goals that you would like to reach here in 2021? We're in May already. So you have any goals that you would like to achieve here before the racing season ends here in the fall?
My only goal right now is to win some races with my road racing team. That's it. That's my plan, to win races. Learn as much as I can and always, always, always bring the car home in one piece.
Yeah, that's really the main two goals right there. So win a race, yeah. And then stay out of harm's way there, and bring. But yeah, that's an important thing there. If that's probably 1A and 1B. Yeah, keep your car in one piece and bring it back, so you don't have to have that extra work. So, and do you have a favorite driver in the Cup Series or any other series truck? Xfinity, you have a favorite driver that you follow? Or
Kyle Larson is my man. That guy grows, I want to watch him. He can get, I said this before, but he can get in a win the Cup race on Sunday, then win a World of Outlaws sprint car race on Monday, win a USAC midget race on Tuesday, and then go win a World of Outlaws dirt late model on Wednesday. It does not matter what that guy gets in, he is fast, and he's going to be competitive. So, and I think that's what makes a driver. Like, any driver that can be adaptable and adapt to any situation, adapt to any car, and as quick as he does, there's no other driver like him. So that's the guy I watch.
That's the popular pick that half of my guests on this podcast go with there, and he's obviously not a bad guy to root for. Obviously, he is really. It feels like he never left because he's leading a lot of laps. And I'm pretty sure that he's, I mean, I already mentioned Dover already in this episode this afternoon. We're going to Dover next week. He's going to be fast there. I'm pretty sure he's going to be fast at Darlington, riding that high line. So he's going to get his, that's for sure. Oh, man. Oh, LeVar, man, this has been fun. Before you go here, tell everybody where we can follow you at on social media.
Instagram is LeVar.Scott34. Twitter is LeVarScott. Facebook is LeVarScott. So, yeah, definitely go give me a follow.
Awesome, awesome, awesome stuff, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, LeVar Scott, Rev Racing, part of the NASCAR Drive for Diversity program. His second season, not his first, his second season with the program. LeVar, it has been a blast having you on this afternoon. Appreciate your time and hope to have you back on here soon.
Thank you so much. It was awesome. I definitely will be back soon.
All right.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Wow. LeVar Scott, appreciate your time. That was awesome. That was very fun to have him come on the podcast. That went a little over than I expected. But that was so much fun. Seriously, that's so much fun to get to know him a little bit. First time on this podcast. And yeah, we're definitely going to have him back at some point. I don't know when that's going to be. But awesome to have him on the podcast. And a shout out to Rev Racing. They've done a lot of stuff for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast to this point. So appreciate that. LeVar Scott, good luck to him. And we got to have to stay tuned for that news. All right, I'm back. You usually hear the closing music right after interview. Not today, because I got to get the starting lineup out here before I let y'all go. And of course, I cannot forget the EG3 helmet sticker of the week. I do have a couple of honorable mentions here, but I'm going to go run through this here real quickly here. Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, the front row for the Goodyear. Goodyear 400. I just realized that. I don't know why I was thinking 500 laps. Usually, Darlington is a 500-mile race, but, I mean, last year, obviously, it cut it down to 100 miles less, but it's still going to be a lot of laps there. But anyways, the 2 and the 4 car will lead the field to green here in a little while. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, your recent Cup winner, trying to go back-to-back in. Back-to-back, William Byron, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Matt DiBenedetto, Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick. It seems to be, I keep bringing those names up. They're going to be starting in row 5 together, 9 and 10. Chris Buescher, Joe Logano, row 6. Michael McDowell, Kyle Larson there, row 7 there. So Kyle Larson, going to be a factor. Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, row 8. Row 9 features Kurt Busch, Ross Chastain. And row 10 will have Alex Bowman and Ryan Newman there. Then Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, Bubba Wallace roll off 23rd. Cole Custer, 24th. Anthony Alfredo roll off 25th. Eric Jones, a past Darlington winner, will be starting deep in the field, 26th. Eric Almirola, 27th. Ricky Stenhouse, 28th. Ryan Preece, Corey LaJoy, 29th and 30th respectively there. And then the rest of the starting lineup includes Justin Haley, BJ McCloy, Cody Ware, JJ Yeley, Quinn Houff, James Davidson, and Josh Palicki. And I wanted to bring this up. I do not want to leave here without mentioning the unfortunate timing passing of Eric McClure. So sad about reading this news this week. Continue thoughts and prayers to the McClure family as well. I know I'm dealing with a teammate of mine from the track team this week, passing away this week, and that's all. All details are still unveiling as it speaks right now, but I'm dealing with that as well. So keep McClure's and family and friends in your thoughts and prayers going into this week and today, obviously. And also, I'm gonna just throw in the family name here of my fallen ex-track teammate, the Ross family, in your prayers. That's why I wanted to get that out before I sign out this afternoon. So definitely keep those in your prayers as well. So that's starting for the Goodyear 400. So, all right, folks, it is that time, folks. The EG3 helmet sticker of the week. That's right, folks. Yeah, so, all right. So, I do have a couple honorable mentions here here for you guys. And one that I have on the list, obviously. She did very well in the truck. This is going back, again, we were off last week. So, this is going back to KC. And this young lady, and I'm going to give it away. So, but you guys already know this name anyways. But she did very, very well in her return to Kansas Speedway. That's the person I'm talking about, Haley Deegan. Wonderful, wonderful performance there in KC. Of course, she made her debut. And now my screen is a good circle in here. By the time I get done, it's going to be all over. But, yeah, anyways, Haley Deegan up in the top 10. She was rolling in the second half of that race last weekend up there in KC. And she ended up there, ended up finishing 20th, though, but still, though, mentioned her name other than being involved in wrecks right there. That's very, very important right there for one Haley Deegan, the number one car there. So she is part of the honorable mention this week as well. But she did awesome. She even got a playoff point as well. So she did very well, but the finishes don't show how well she did over there in KEC. My other pick here, let's see, is that right? yeah, that is right. Okay, I had to double check. I had to double check for a second. Ben Rhodes continues for his stellar season in the Truck Series. He finished third there. He was in trouble there late in the race, but he rallied back with the rash of cautious leap, get himself back in there. He gets a EG3 honorable mention this week as well. And a quiet but consistent Todd Gilliland, the other honorable mention for the Truck Series as well, gets an EG3 helmet sticker as well. He finished sixth in this race, and he's put together a quiet 2021 season to this point as well. So definitely well-deserved for those guys and gals on that list. And then obviously, here for the Cup Series, I only have... let's see, that's the same winner. Okay, lineup, finish race. Okay, yeah, I had it on the wrong screen for a second. Okay, so obviously here, Daniel Suarez, I got on my list here. EG3 auto mention here. This Trackhouse Racing team has put together some good runs here in 2021. Led laps at the Bristol Dirt Race there, was in the top 10 in Atlanta before something happened there. And this team, and I'm going to put it bluntly here for y'all, this team has outdriven the highly profile 2311 Racing to this point. that's unfortunate what it is, but hey, I call it what I call it right now. And this 99 team is only going to get better here as we roll into the summer months here in 2021. So Daniel Suarez finished in 11th spot. And my own mention. And then the other one here, gotta give a shout out. Gotta give another shout out to Matt DiBenedetto, man. We all thought he was rolled over. This team was dead early on in the season, man. This team ain't nowhere near what they need to be. I mean, they're pissy guys, that pissy trio. Blaney, Keselowski, Logano, they have now all won races, and we're waiting on this 21 car to finally crack the code to get it done. And they're still sitting on 99 wins. This one, and Matty D's fighting for his career right now, but hey, he gets an honorable mention here, and this team has woken up for the last several races, three straight top 10s, honorable mention of the week. But before we get ready for racing at Darlington, EG3 helmet sticker, you know who I'm going to go with here, and it's got to be the triple McBushy, McBush, Bush. Kyle Busch gets the EG3 helmet sticker of the week. And finally, I mean, last year, obviously, that big old gorilla off his back, well, that was important for him to win that race right there. Win it early, win at all costs. That's what you do. Take advantage of it. But the guy was fast all day long, and I mean, yes, he complains, but that's how he is. I mean, we discussed it multiple times on the 3Y Pod with EG3. So that's what I got right there. And you follow me at Eddie_EG3. If you missed out on any of the episodes this week, I know I separated them from the trucks, the Xfinity. Please go back and check that out as well. Might be doing the same format again because there's going to be so much to talk about from this weekend, the breakdown and all that. So definitely go back. This is why the 3Y NASCAR podcast, maybe three different episodes this week to get you ready to go. We're just a couple hours away from race time. Once again, with the Cup Series, doing battle for 400 miles, 293 laps. It's going to be something. We'll see who survives the Lady in Black later on this afternoon. But for now, signing off for now, Kyle Busch, your EG3 helmet sticker of the week.
listening to the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 Wide.